month. Who becomes good at anything doing that thing 4 days per month?
Did
Michael Jordan practice basketball 4 days per month? Of course not. So if you want to become the Michael Jordan of your niche, and you should want to become the Michael Jordan of your niche, then you've got to do that thing. So I would absolutely be doing a daily show, producing daily content, because what else are you doing with your life? I mean, create content, put in the reps. If you're going to go all in, go all in.
You still can't hear me?
Now I can.
Oh, that's really weird. Huh. Okay, good. Sorry about that. I put it on.
I accept your apology.
Thank you for joining me, first off.
Welcome.
You got the hot chili coffee cup there.
Ah, it tastes amazing.
Well, I want to be conscious of your time because I know we're tight and you are a busy man. So
busy, busy. Like that background, by the way. Super cool. Where is that?
So this is the favela in Brazil.
Oh, wow.
Photograph that's on aluminum.
That's very nice. That's very neat.
Now, you live in a really special place. So you took off and you escaped to Puerto Rico.
Where you get to keep the money you make.
Okay, well, that's a good reason.
Yeah, totally.
And how's the weather?
Perfect. It's paradise.
And that's amazing. So we love paradise. And don't you have a program called Podcasting Paradise?
I like to stay on brand. So if I'm going to have a community course and overall program called Podcasters Paradise, I better live in paradise.
Smart. I'm glad you're consistent with your brand. Well, so just to let you know, I am recording, first off, so we're ready to roll because I'm not going to waste time with an introduction. Everybody knows who John Lee Dumas is for the most part.
If they don't, they're dead to me.
We're going to find out right now. So the first thing I just wanted to acknowledge is that you, I think, are one of the first or maybe the first person I was aware of that took the concept of podcasting and kind of made it the engine of your business. And you've been super successful. Would you say that's like a big or maybe the core of what you've been able to accomplish?
It is the foundation of everything that I've accomplished. I went all in. I was the first person to say, you know what? Screw this like once a week or twice a month podcasting stuff. Like if I'm going to do this, I'm going all in to win. And so I did a 7 day a week podcast for 2,000 days in a row.
Oh my God. Okay. So you've interviewed well over 2,000 people at this point. Some of them
2,600.
Wow, that's amazing. And so what would, like, if you had to, let's say this is a stupid question, but maybe someone's
asking. I only answer stupid questions.
Well, so then I have a good one for you. So. let's say this is day zero and you got to do it all again. What do you do first? Like, what's the 30 days look like to get, you know, to the point where, because you know now what the end result is, you have this phenomenal lifestyle business and you're living in a great place and you got a great audience. Like, but now that you take all that away, like, what do you do?
Are we talking we're in 2020 or we're back in 2012?
Yeah, right now.
I go super niche. This is where everybody fails today. They just try to start the next version of Entrepreneurs on Fire or the Tim Ferriss Show or fill in the blank. And they just do this very vague, broad podcast, interviewing entrepreneurs, asking them the same questions that they've already been asked a million times, and just creating a show that's been created a million times. It's just a watered down, duplicate version of tons of other content that's out there. So I do something different. I create something unbelievably niche that's so specific, that's so individualized for that niche of people that it just becomes the best solution to that very niche problem. And then I just win by serving them better than anybody else is serving them.
Oh, that's a really good answer. And then the other thing that I'm curious about is, would you do a daily show again? Do you have to do three a day? Do you do three a week? Like, is volume important in this scenario?
So quality of content and actual focus niche of content is ultimately, in my opinion, the most important thing. However, there's an asterisk there. Like a lot of people say, like, you have to do a daily show to win. That's definitely not true. You have a lot of people that say, like, you can do a weekly show and succeed. And the answer is absolutely you can. But the problem is, are you good? Are you good at being a podcast host? And the answer is, no, you're not, if you've never done it before. I was not good when I started. So why did I do daily? For a lot of reasons, but one of them was to actually put in the reps, to actually do the thing that I wanted to become good at. If I was doing a weekly show and doing four per month, who becomes good at anything doing that thing 4 days per month?
That's a good
point. Michael Jordan practice basketball 4 days per month? Of course not. So if you want to become the Michael Jordan of your niche, and you should want to become the Michael Jordan of your niche, then you've got to do that thing. So I would absolutely be doing a daily show, producing daily content, because what else are you doing with your life? I mean, create content, put in the reps. If you're going to go all in, go all in. Stop being an amateur. Stop playing part-time, or don't do it at all.
Turn pro, right? In the immortal
go pro, man.
Even Penfield.
Smart man.
Very smart man. One of the other things that I really love and I want to acknowledge that you do, which is really interesting, it takes, I think, a lot of guts, because I've thought about it and I couldn't do it, which is publish your income. And you've maintained this even throughout tough times, and not that there have been tough times for you, but I think it's really interesting to kind of take a look at that. Like, what's the response to that and why do you do it?
Well, there's definitely been tough times for us. I mean, maybe not so much financially tough times, but I mean, we're always having struggles and challenges. We just last month had a big, you know, struggle and failure that we published very publicly within that income report, because we want to show people when we mess up or when we have a failure or a flop, which of course happens all the time. You know, frankly, most people don't publish their income because they don't have any income. So you can't publish when you're not having something. But for us, you know, I knew that I was inspired by other people that were sharing their numbers and being open and transparent with their business. And I said to myself, well, hey, when I, or if I get to a point where I'm generating significant revenue, then I want to also give that inspiration, that transparency, that genuineness to the world so that they can be like, you know what? You can do things right. You can deliver free value, consistent value, and like real value, and still make a business out of it. And that's why, you know, we try to be as transparent as possible every month. We bring our lawyer in to give a legal tax, to give a legal tip. We bring our CPA, our accountant in to bring it, to share a tax tip. Like, we just really try to make this a very valuable overall income report so that people can look at that and say, okay, let's at least model what's working for John in our business and see if that works for us. And then let's maybe avoid some of the things that's not working for John, because, you know, he's kind of already proven that that could be a rabbit hole or just a way not to do business or a way not to do things. And that's kind of, you know, in a way, I kind of do resonate with that Tim Ferriss quote of, you know, he's like a human guinea pig. Like, yeah. I like to be that human guinea pig. Like, I'm going to try things. And luckily, I'm at a point where I built up a financial war chest that I can sustain a few, you know, losses and flops, which we have from time to time, and live to tell about it another day. And that's kind of where my focus is right now.
And are you, you know, my assumption is that your motivation and the thing that moves you is helping entrepreneurs to kind of change their lives and to change the world. Is that still?
Well, I hate leading questions like that where the host actually tries to answer for you before they answer. So I'm going
to
take that with a grain of salt. But basically,
the question?
What inspires me is what I call the ripple effect. And the ripple effect is like when I am able to, through my show or my content or something that I've written or created, inspire somebody to do something or give people permission or confidence to do something that they might not otherwise have done, that gives them now an opportunity to inspire somebody else, give confidence to somebody else that I never would have impacted. And like that ripple effect, that like second, third, fourth degree of separation, just to me is such a powerful world that we live in. So like one episode that I created back in 2013 might right now at this very second that you and I are talking be inspiring somebody in India right now who's listening to it and, you know, furiously taking notes, and they're going to go now create something for everybody that lives, you know, in his portion of the world or her part of the world, and inspire a whole group of people that would never have heard of John Lee Dumas or Entrepreneurs on Fire, but are now going to be able to make the world a better place.
I love it. And sorry for the leading question. I'm not much of a lawyer.
I accept your apology.
That's two. Jeez, I think the Canadian in me is coming through too. All right. So I want to shift gears a little bit, which is I want to ask you about a huge deal that just went down. And as a OG podcast pioneer,
I know exactly where you're going.
What is your take on this Joe Rogan deal?
Oh, man, listen, I mean, podcasting is here. It has attention. It has a passionate listener base. And there's nothing more important in this world when it comes to online marketing, when it comes to marketing in general, than attention. People that have attention win. Like Gary Vaynerchuk, you know, puts it so well, he day trades attention. That guy knows how to get people's attention, and he does it better than most anybody else. And guess what? Since 2009, Joe Rogan has been building an unbelievably loyal listener base.
Very much.
190 million listens a month on his podcast, because he gets people like Elon Musk to smoke weed on his show. He gets people, you know, like, you know, Bernie Sanders to come on.
And
he
calls him too, right?
Like an, like an old grunge ball. You know what I mean? Like he's able to do things and bring like this whole massive audience. And guess what? I don't know if you knew this, and this could be a strategic thing on his part. If it was, then it was brilliant because it worked. But he was not on Spotify. Like he either like refused to go on Spotify for all these years, for any number of reasons, but maybe it was because he foresaw something like this as a possibility. And now Spotify is like, why aren't you on our platform? He's like, well, pay me, you know, biatches, and then I'll go on your platform.
The real biatches are YouTube. I think everyone's just struggling with that. And this probably doubles his revenue out of that. And it's a huge win for Spotify. I mean,
such a big win for Spotify. And the thing is, he's still going to like be showing like clips on YouTube that'll be watched. But then if you want to get the whole thing, you've got to go to Spotify now. So now he's getting this $100 million license deal. Plus he's going to be able to keep all the money he's making from his sponsors. Huge. It's huge. Spotify, if you're watching, like
Howard Stern moment, right?
I'm for sale. I'm for sale, Spotify. You can
You know what? You're the logical next guy, right?
I would hope so. Bring it on. Come on. I'll license myself out.
We will network our way to get that conversation.
Yes. We put it out there. That's all we can do. It's out there in the universe.
Okay, a couple quick things. If you are the sum of the five people you spend the most time with, who do you, John Lee Dumas, spend the most time with?
So definitely my life and business partner, Kate. And then I'm also part of a three-person mastermind where we meet on a weekly basis. Those individuals will have to go unnamed because we do keep that private. But, you know, they're very high-level entrepreneurs that we hold each other accountable. You know, we've been to, you know, meeting weekly for years, excuse me, now. And I'm such a believer in having that close-knit core of, you know, 3, 4, 5 people that you are consistently meeting with, engaging with, surrounding yourself with, because you know your level is going to go up because of these people you are you know, spending the most time with, which is why I end every one of my episodes on Entrepreneurs on Fire with, hey, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with.
You see, you know, that
thanks for hanging out with so-and-so.
Did I totally rip you off? Or
totally 100%, and I love it.
Is it the first time anyone's asked you though, or
no, it's like the 54th
sure everybody's time. Asked you. That's interesting. You know what? I apologize. I didn't even realize that you were using that was your thing.
Only for like the past 600 episodes.
Oh my God. I got to watch more of them.
Listen, I don't do any video. I'm not Joe Rogan.
Oh, there's room to improve in everything. Right? how are you, John Lee Dumas, changing the world?
One listener at a time, that ripple effect, you know, that's it for me. I mean, you know, everybody's like always so obsessed with these big numbers and these big impacts. And of course I'll take all of that. But at the end of the day, if that one email comes through from somebody that's been able to listen to a guest that I've had or something that I said on a podcast and, you know, take their next step in life, I win.
Wonderful. And it's amazing work. I will confirm that it has impacted a lot of people I know. So I
even though you haven't listened in a long time.
Well, I didn't say a long time. I didn't say a long time.
Oh, stop being so Canadian. We're just giving each other a hard time.
That's okay. Are you Canadian? Are you American? So
obviously, isn't that obvious?
Yeah, you were in the military here, so I don't.
Yes, I was. I served with a lot of amazing Canadians, actually.
Final two things. How do people get in touch with you? What's the best way to connect with John Lee Dumas?
All the magic happens at eofire.com. We have amazing free courses there for all of your listeners and viewers. Free courses on podcasting, on coming up with your big idea, on making your first dollar. eofire.com. And of course, unlike our host here, listen to Entrepreneurs on Fire, because you will be prepared to ignite.
I listened to it. I just apparently didn't pay attention to that part.
You just zone out. You're just like, John's voice just puts me to sleep.
Beautiful music. The final thing is, and I'm sure you know so many people, so when we have exciting and interesting people on the podcast, we'd like you to nominate someone to be a future guest. We talk to experts and entrepreneurs. Typically, we talk to people either about their entrepreneurial journey or specifically about how they automate and grow their business through systems and software.
So cool. Well, you, John Lee, perfect person for that is Greg Hickman. He has a company called Systemly, system.ly. He's a stud. And if you tell him that I sent you, he will absolutely be a guest on your show. And he'll probably give you more than 15 minutes.
I love it. Well, Greg Hickman, I am very much aware of you, but we have not met. So you have been nominated.
You'll love it.
And we will reach out to you. I appreciate your time, John Lee Dumas. You are a great guy. And
thank you.
I look forward to the next episode of your podcast, which I will definitely pay a lot more attention to.
Take care, brother. Thanks for having me.
Have a great day.